Kenny McCarthy, and he's Joey Shimotaro. Welcome to the Gloucestercast.
Hi, welcome to the Gloucestercast. The Gloucestercast is a podcast devoted to all things Gloucester and Cape Ann, where we will discuss recent happenings, upcoming events around town, local real estate trends, dog and pet talk, sports, technology, social media, and basically anything else that comes up along the way. I'm Joey Shimotaro, the creator of Good Morning Gloucester, and it's a blog, local blog. I have a bunch of contributors that help me with it, and I'm the co-owner of a local lobster company with my cousin Frankie called Captain Joe and Sons.
Hey, Joey. I'm Kenny McCarthy, also known as a nerd, hiker, real estate agent, and creator of thecutbridge.com.
Yeah.
It's good to be here today.
Kenny, this is it. This is our first podcast. It's probably going to be a train wreck, but this is our first first shot at it, and people bear with us, but it should be fun as we go along, and hopefully people can learn some things about town, and we can highlight the best of what our community has to offer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Kenny, do you remember we started talking about this about a year ago? Do you remember how the whole idea for a podcast came to be?
Well, yeah. I mean, don't you remember? It was your idea. You had the brainstorm, and you called me and said, what do you think about this? Let's see if we can get something together. And it's taken us all this time. It's taken us 8-10 months to get it together. But people like to listen to news. They like to listen to local happenings. Sometimes they're just too busy to read it. And, all you got to do is look around a little bit, and you see all these folks walking around with earbuds on. And, they've got things downloaded from iTunes to their listening device, and that's what we can do here. They can subscribe to it if they want, and once a week we put something like this up, it'll automatically get to them. So it ought to work. I think it ought to work great, Joey. Let's get to it.
After following you on thecutbridge.com and all your YouTube account, and I figured if anybody's as big of a tech nerd, a local tech nerd as I am, it would be the infamous Kenny McCarthy. So.
Yeah, I've seen you. I've seen you wearing a plastic pocket protector too, Joey.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. Family stuff and work stuff. I'm back at work. I just came back from St. Lucia, and the first week back, we had last week there was the myopia dog sled races. Those were pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep.
First time and kind of a unique event to the area. I don't think I've ever seen, or most people probably haven't seen that around, but that was pretty cool.
No, we had known for it too. It was great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because those things can really crap out if you don't have the right.
It's bogus. Yeah, yeah.
Not so much fun. Not so much fun, right? Exactly. Yeah, and so let's talk about some local news this week. The Gloucester Times ran an article about CrossFit Cape Ann, and that seems to be like a trend. Every couple of years or so, there's Tai Bo, and then there's yoga. There's always like something that really kind of takes over. But
yeah, really.
the thing about CrossFit, it seems like it's, in my research of whatever I know about fitness, which is I'm not going to profess to be any kind of professional, but like. This type of exercise, challenges and changes up the routines all the time. So you're constantly confusing your muscles, and I think that is what gives you the best gains in strength and fitness and health and everything.
They want you to be doing actions that you would normally be doing during the day. We don't usually curl free weights during the day unless we're at the gym. So from my understanding, because I went to the one in Beverly and did an intro session there, and it was great. but they have you squatting and picking up stuff. A couple of the things they want you to do, you know, like rolling big tractor tires down the middle of the street. That wasn't something I normally do in the course of the day, but it's good for your back, and it's just normal stuff. I mean, you get in and out of a chair all day long, so you should be, you know, learning how to get in and out of a chair. So
it probably hit certain muscle groups that you wouldn't normally be hitting, you know, in your
absolutely.
Everyday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not a spring chicken, but you know you're in pretty good shape. What do you generally do for physical activity?
I'm just right now trying to recover from the spring chicken crack, but I'm 55. The spring chicken crack. Yeah.
What is that?
What that you just made? That I'm no spring chicken.
Oh,
I know I'm
sorry,
no spring chicken, Joe. I don't need you to point that out to me. I shave the face of the non-spring chicken every morning, so I know.
But you look like, for what I'm saying, that was a compliment, though. You're in great shape, so.
thanks. Good recovery. I do a lot of walking, a lot of hiking, and I also do yoga every day. I have a yoga practice 6 days a week at the house here, so if you're ever on the cut, walking along the cut with your dog around 5:30 in the morning, and you look in the back of my house, you'll see me in my skivvies on my yoga mat for 45 minutes every morning. But otherwise, I'm out walking around with the dog.
Yeah, you hike a lot?
Yep, there's a lot of places right here in Gloucester. I love the bleachers at Newell Stadium when they're not slippery. Up and down the bleachers, I do that. I like the track over there. Ravenswood is terrific. I take my dogs out there and I can get lost. I can go out there for a couple hours sometimes and not see another soul.
All the years I've lived in Gloucester, I've never been to Ravenswood. And I hear people write about it and talk about
it.
It's this really spiritual place, but I've never been.
I love it up there. There's a great view too. Ledge Rock that you can see Eastern Point and the whole whole harbor. Not the working harbor, but you can see the outer harbor and then open ocean. And it's only like a 20-minute walk. So as a matter of fact, I've got some videos of it, the walk with the dogs on my YouTube.
I'll have to link
And that. I also do the two-legged Blackburn Challenge. Have you heard of that?
Two-legged. No, never heard of that.
That's where it's actually a six-legged challenge. Myself and my dog Spike, one of my dogs, we every year, once or twice, we walk the 16 or 17 miles around the Cape. So we go up 127 and through Rockport and then come back. We do that a couple times a year. So just to be able to say we did it.
Wow, Jesus. Yeah. I tell you, I can't do that, that's for sure.
What do you do?
What do I do? Well, I do, work here at Captain Joe, our lobster company. It's a pretty physical activity. So that's work, and that is expending energy. So once the season kind of winds down, it's more about recovery for me than it is about trying to find ways to exercise. I'm currently I'm trying to detox from I figure in the fall when I'm working so hard physically that I could just eat all kinds of crap. I eat cookies and pizza and chips and stuff like that. So now that I'm a lot more sedentary because it's not as active down here, I'm trying to, I don't want all that crap to go into the system and find little deposits on the inside of me to hang out. So.
Sometime, one of our episodes, we're going to have to talk about some diets, the different diets. Eating.
Different ones.
Patty and I are vegetarians.
You're strict vegetarian? Now, what level of vegetarian are you? Because there's like the octo-lacto, there's all different kinds of...
We're the sick level. We try not to eat gluten. We try not to eat dairy. My level of vegetarianism is if you can hug it, I won't eat it. So I'll eat fish, but... I didn't want to mention this live. I also won't kill a lobster or a clam. And we can talk about that off air sometime.
That's all right. that's part of your whole fitness routine right there. So where do you get your proteins?
It is beans, There's a lot of protein actually in plant foods. You just got to eat enough of it. And I do eat fish, so I eat a lot of shrimp. Whatever's the catch of the day. The hard part is Patty doesn't eat fish at all, so I got to cook it. I cook, I've almost always got shrimp cooked in the fridge so I can eat those. And we don't eat out much because it's hard.
So you have shrimp. So what do? You prepare that. You steam the shrimp, and then you just keep it in a bowl and cook
it. I buy frozen shrimp. I buy frozen shrimp, and I put it in boiling water, or sometimes I'll scampi it or whatever. But I usually eat it like shrimp cocktail. I'll eat that two or three times a week. So
that doesn't suck.
Keeps my protein up. My protein's good.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we got, let's see, we're talking about let's talk about this, let's move on to some things around town here in Gloucester and art.
Yeah,
right now, Gloucester is in this battle. I don't know if you would call it a battle, but there's American Style magazine has tagged Gloucester as being in the running for the top 25 Arts Destination Edition.
Wow.
And there's voting right now.
Yep.
And we'll put a link to where people can vote. But I don't know if people, probably a lot of people understand this, but for people that market, that their job is to market Gloucester.
Yep.
If Gloucester wins this type of designation by the votes or whatever happens to happen to get them designated as one of the top 25 arts destination in the country.
Sure, yeah, yep.
It just makes marketing this town so, it's something that they could point to. It doesn't cost us anything. And it's something that they can use in all their brochures and everything else. So it's something that's kind of, I find it's kind of important, for people to get their vote. It doesn't cost anybody anything. It can really help out the local economy.
Makes a lot of sense. While I'm sitting here, I just Googled American Style magazine, and so for anybody that wants to go vote, I would imagine that's where they can do it at, and it's just AmericanStyle.com. As a matter of fact, right here on the front page, it says vote for your favorite art destination. So we should all go there and vote for Gloucester. Absolutely.
Yeah. This this January, all January long, local residents can get into the Cape Ann Museum for free. Have you been to the Cape Ann Museum?
I have. That is a good take, too. I was there in October. I think it was October. Laurel Hughes is a local artist, and she had an opening and a show. And in November, I was there for Ruth Mordecai's talk. She did a retrospective of her work. She's been, I don't want to tell you how long she's been painting, but it's been a long time, and she's only 23 years old. I love Ruth's work. And I love Walker Hancock's work, all the sculptures around there. I actually just finished reading his book. Walker Hancock was a local sculptor and had a home in Annisquam, Lanesville. And he did most of his work here. He was nationally known. He sculpted presidents and a lot of war memorials, those big, generals on horses you see on the common in different lawns. Very interesting book called A Sculptor's Fortunes. So, yeah. So I've been there. It's a great take.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been there probably when I was, I don't know, I think every kid probably that goes through this Gloucester school system maybe go, I'm not sure if this is right, but I'm going to guess and say that every kid gets a field trip to that place when you're like 11 or 12 years old. And
is that the last time you were there?
No, I hadn't been there for 30 years. And then like last year they had Charlie Lowe, the Gloucester Times photographer had an exhibit there, and then they had another one on the Fiesta, and I missed both of them. And I was so upset with myself because those were two exhibits that I really wanted to see. But I happened to make it for last year's the Middle Street Walk. I walked through there.
Nice.
And I
nice.
Just rediscovered this treasure that's right in our backyard.
Right downtown. Yeah.
Right in the heart of downtown. There are so many things. It's not like some you know, thing that you go in and there's four or five different things to see. There's hundreds of artifacts and cool things to see, and they're constantly changing it. And to get in there for free all January, you're crazy not to take advantage.
It's a great deal, yeah. And it's all Cape Ann people. It's all Cape Ann, to my knowledge, it's all Cape Ann people. And so it's definitely worth going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now we're going to talk about another local blog, North Shore Kid. I find there's probably the best resource for people that have children, young children or whatever. They have constantly updated with a very clean layout explaining the best things to do. Every single day of the week, they have something to do for families. And they do these features all the time. And the latest feature that they came up with was a comprehensive list of North Shore ice skating locations.
Wow.
So if you go to North Shore Kid, they have a link to it, and there's actually 5 pages of North Shore ice skating locations. Just
wow,
there's a lot there. Yeah,
I couldn't.
Have you ever been to the site?
No, to the site, no. I was just you were making me remember when I was a kid trying to skate, because I've been a nerd since birth, and it meant that I couldn't play sports, and they used to use me for the puck. Not really. I couldn't in the wintertime. I was always the goalie because I couldn't stand up on the skates. My ankles I used to skate around on the sides of my ankles, so I was perfect.
Oh,
for the
my
goalie.
God! I have memories of that same exact feeling. That first time my parents put me on the ice and I was skating on the pain. I remember being up against the glass, begging my father. Please, I wanted to get off the ice bad.
I stuck with it
for a couple of years, but then I had to I wasn't much of an athlete. I'll be honest.
I hated skating, but you had to do. You know, if all the guys were doing it, you had street hockey. I liked that. I was okay. I liked street hockey because I didn't need to wear skates. But anyway.
Well, let's talk about an upcoming local event. This is the 3rd annual Cape Ann Art Haven Lobster Buoy Auction and Art Show.
Yep.
And
when's that?
It's going to be January 28th. It's going to be at Cruiseport. And this, if anybody hasn't gone yet, it's a lot of fun. There's just, you know, all these people, these kids, some of these kids at Art Haven and local kids, they create some very interesting buoys. Like there's one that's always a penguin, and they're really works of art, and they can be used as Christmas decorations year after year after year. And
I love that that little shop. That Art Haven. It seems like a good thing for the kids. I haven't been in the cruise port yet.
Yeah. Oh, not. Anything. You've never
been
there for any kind of function?
Must have been there. I haven't been to any function
cool.
in there yet. Yeah.
You know the thing about Cruiseport, which I really like, is like they open that place up to the community. Like if there's some kind of a community event, they let them use it, and it's like this. They let them put their structure on the waterfront, and it's not necessarily for a fishing industry use, but the whole town is using that space for all these different, you know, auctions and city meetings and all this other stuff, and it's very generous of them to donate the space there.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Have you eaten in there? Have you eaten it?
Yeah, they have great food. Every lunch they have like specials for right around $10 or less, and they're expanding. I just was in there the other day. They're actually adding another, I think it's close to 100 spaces, seats on their deck, outdoor deck. So, and if you've been in there, they have the whole front of the building. Well, the harbor side, it totally opens up to you can see the working waterfront. And for people that are into that, you know, it's in the summertime, they get nice breezes in there, and it's kind of funky. It's cool, and it's not like you're not going in there to spend $30 on lunch. You know, it's like a $10 lunch.
I love sitting there looking at the harbor. And a buddy of mine, I watched them build it. A buddy of mine, plasterer friend of mine, Al Amore, and his company did the exterior plastering on that building. So I did get to see that. But I'll check it out. I'll have to get there.
There you go. Well, Kenny, you are a local real estate guru, and I've been out of the real estate loop for a while, but I love knowing what's going on in real estate around town.
Sure.
So, why don't we talk a little bit about the residential real estate cycle, and where do you find we are right now? In your opinion, because you're informed, you look at this stuff every day. Where are we in the real estate cycle, and where is Gloucester in relation to other places around our area?
It all depends on whether you're buying or selling, Joey. Overall, if you're selling, prices have stabilized, but they're at 03 and 04 levels. So, and this is a big broad statements I'm making. There are certain small pockets that are still doing well, but for the average guy like you and I, our properties have gone back to what they were worth in 03 and 04. So if you've been in your house since 2000 and you're looking to sell now, you'll be okay. You'll be fine. You'll be able to get out of it, and you won't make the gains that we all thought we were making in 6 and 7, but you should be okay. You're going to have to stage it. You're going to have to, have it photographed, plastered on the internet, all of that to get it done. But you can get it done. Things are moving. If you're buying right now, God love you. I wish I was in a position or needed to buy something right now, because I think 2011 is going to be the year that we look back at and say, wow, I wish I had bought an 11. Because right now, the prices are good. The financing is great. There's some good financing out there. And it's real financing, Joey. It's like it used to be. Mm-hmm. You've got a job, your credit's good, and you've got a little bit of money for a down payment, so you can get a loan. The banking the way it used to be. There aren't any of those oddball financing programs out there, but there is plenty of financing out there.
What about numbers of listings? Like, are we historically, is there a lot of listings? Is there a lot out there to look at, or is there very little on the market?
Right now, for example, Beverly, Danvers, Essex, Gloucester, Ipswich, Rockport, there are usually in any given period around 1,000 or 1,100 properties on the market. And right now we're right where we're supposed to be. The market in Gloucester, there are about the same amount of properties on the market now as there were last year at this time. There's no big surge or big scarcity of properties. There's plenty to buy out there if you're out there looking to buy. And most of it's priced to sell. Sellers are taking the advice of the professionals like myself out there, and if they want to sell it, they're not putting it on the market and hoping that somebody pulls into town on a turnip truck and says, hey, I'll take that. It's way overpriced. I'll take that. Because that's not the way the market works. So the to answer your question, the number of properties on the market right now are about the same as they usually are. There aren't a lot.
When I drive around, I don't see this huge mass of for sale signs. Like some periods you see that, it's been a while since I can remember that that you see, like every fourth house had, or seemed like
right.
every fourth house had a for sale sign on it.
Well, signs too, because we tend to drive the same routes all the time. You go back and forth to work the same route all the time, and I do too to my office. And sometimes I'll notice more signs than others. Signs aren't necessarily a good indication of the market, because you're only seeing the signs on the particular route that you're on. I'm looking at statistics overall all the time, because I'm a nerd, so I'm a numbers guy, and I know that marketing and sales is all numbers. And it's just nice to see that about the same number of properties are on the market, about the same number are going under agreement, about the same number are selling. We are a little bit behind here in Gloucester and Rockport as far as the recovery is concerned.
Beverly and Danvers right now are getting a little, they have actually appreciated a little bit fractionally over the last couple of 4 or 5 or 6 months. And we have not, we're still finding our bottom, but we're typically behind anyways that way. But we're, you know, this year is definitely going to be the low point for prices. So I, that's, at least that's my crystal ball. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. What resources, yeah. If you're a person, if you're an average person, what online resources would you point people in the direction of
well,
to do some real estate research?
Sure, sure. Trulia and Zillow both have great websites for analysis. You can really drill down and see what's going on in an area. For example, you can tell if you're trying to get a ballpark for what your house is worth, you can tell, you can kind of narrow in on sales there and see. Right now, a great indicator of the value of your property is how much it's assessed at, because the assessors have caught up and they're assessing every year now, and they're using the real estate sales to assess. So
when they say your property's worth X number of dollars, then you can go and actually look at what the property sold for in relation to the assessed value. And right now, a rule of thumb in Gloucester is,
single family houses are selling for between 90 and 95% of their assessed value. So that's a good, just a thumbnail shot. So you can get
that. Selling for less than their assessed value?
They're selling for less than their assessed value, correct. Correct.
Wasn't there a time when places were selling for more than their assessed value?
Oh, yeah. I've been an agent for a long time, and there was a day when we were explaining away the assessed value, because a property might be assessed for $150,000 and it was selling for $300,000. So we didn't even bother talking about it then.
Yeah, I remember those days. It's been that long that I wouldn't even, if you hadn't told me that just now, I wouldn't even look at assessed value, because I always thought it was, you know, something that
sure,
they didn't even,
sure.
You know, wasn't really relevant.
In the old days, Joey, people didn't pay attention to the assessed value, because assessors typically only assessed every 3 years.
Uh-huh.
10 years plus ago, people didn't sell their houses nearly as often as they do now. So a house would be in, owned by somebody, a family, whatever, for 20, 30, 40 years. It wouldn't turn over. So it would typically be assessed for a lot less than it was worth. Municipalities were losing money because they weren't assessing accurately. And the last several years, say 6, 8, 10 years, the assessments are much more accurate. They do it once a year now, and they want to do it once a year now, because it allows them to tax us more when the values are good and less when they aren't. So they're much more accurate. So another place that I love to get analysis is Inman.com, Inman.com. It's a function of Inman News, and it's all real estate related news nationally, and they often do local stuff. HouseLogic.com is a great place to go to. And if you're a real estate junkie and you want some dirt, there's a site called curbed.com, C-U-R-B-E-D.
Kenny, listen to me right now. You have got to, in the notes, when we post this podcast here, hopefully you make a list of those links, and we'll both put them on the cutbridge.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good morning,
absolutely.
Gloucester. So people can really just click on them. This is great information.
Sure. Good.
All right. Well, there you go. There's our first real estate segment in the books right there. And I think that was pretty informative. I learned something right there.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
I like to help.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we're going to talk about another one of your areas of expertise. I'm not particularly a dog person. We had a cat, Mr. J.J. Jingle Nuts. And Mr. Jingle Nuts.
Where did that name come from?
Well,
did you talk about that?
Came,
I think I read about it, but. And it was our
yeah, I wrote exactly how it came about. We got the cat, and it was right around, I don't know if it was Super Bowl 1 year, and we had our whole family over the house, and my everybody voted on what they thought the name would be. And my name is Joey. My wife's name is Jill. So there's the JJ. That's where the JJ comes from. And and someone said Jingles. And I just said, mate, I just wanted it to be Jingle Nuts because he was a boy cat and he had nuts. JJ Jingle Nuts.
All right. I got it. Well, God rest Jackie Jingle Nuts' soul. Anyway.
Yeah, he got eaten by a fisher cat this past summer. So that's our pet experiment at the house is sadly come to a close. But I know you're a huge lover of dogs. I mean, how many dogs do you have?
Yeah, we have two. We have two. Two mutts, Spike and Kit. Spike's a 75-pound cross between a sled dog, a husky, and a shepherd, we think. He's about 10 years old. And Kit, we got about a year ago when Kramer the Collie, God rest Kramer the Collie's soul, he died a year ago. And we went down to the Cape Ann Animal Aid and a couple times visited with them and waited for a puppy to come in. I had never had a puppy before. And we got Kit the puppy, who came from Humble, Texas. And she's she's about a year old now, and she's a cattle dog, one of those herding cattle dogs. They call them blue heelers or something like that, and she's got something else. We think she's got some bird dog in her because she jumps. It's amazing how high she can jump. She can jump on the dining room table. Not that we encourage
that. That Cape Ann Animal, is it Cape Ann Animal Aid or Animal Shelter?
Yeah.
They get dogs and they get animals from not just I always thought that they just got them from like locally Gloucester, you know, people.
They
get them. I think they got some from Haiti or like Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I think they get them from like everywhere.
They do. When we were in there looking for Kit and we wanted a puppy, they had puppies from Georgia. They had puppies from I want to say South Carolina. They had a litter of Beagle mix puppies down there, Joey, that there were like nine of them that were, they were like little bears running around. They were so, I almost said freaking. They were so cute. They were so cute. And, but Kit, when we picked Kit out, she was the only, she's like whitish with spots on her. She was ugly. She was an ugly puppy. And we kind of grabbed her because we thought she might be the one that was left there. So anyways, we're really happy we did. So
you blog a lot about your dogs and on the Cut Bridge.
Yeah, they're my kids. I don't have any kids. So
there you go. You also made a dog walking map, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Why don't you explain to the people what that's all about?
Sure. I like to walk the dogs. I like to take them off leash sometimes, and so I created a map on Google, and if you Google Cape Ann MA dog walks, you'll be able to find the map, okay? And it's just got some favorite places where we can take the dogs and let them off leash, like Ravenwood, and et cetera, et cetera. And there, you know, there's leashed walks on there too. So, but because I figure if you're out for a walk, you might as well have a dog with you. It just makes you walk better, and it's good for me. It's good for the dog. So just go to Google and look for Cape Ann MA dog walks, and you'll be able to find it.
So there you go. You get the dog lover. You get the tech geek. You get the blogger, and then you produce, and that's, and really, was there any question that you weren't going to produce the dog walking map on Google?
Yeah, it just fit. Hey, are you Twittering?
Yes, I'm a huge fan of Twitter. I know people. I know there's people that just cannot grasp Twitter, but I'm one of these. I'm a big Twitter person.
You got it. I'm still trying to wrap my head around. I got Facebook going on. I'm on the Facebook. I've figured that out. But I can't, for the life of me, understand why a restaurant or, you know, a local inn would not be all over Facebook and Twitter as well, like sending out specials and things like that. Do you got any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I've written about it. It is, to me, it is absolutely negligent. It is negligent for any restaurant, inn, hotel, to not have a Facebook page or a Twitter page, because you don't even have, you can just set up the Twitter page. And if you have a Facebook page, you can, There's all you have to do is click like one or two buttons, and it could send your Facebook updates to Twitter automatically. It's not like you have to go through all these steps. And there are people out there that, like me, there's North Shore Dish, there's all these food bloggers that would love to get these restaurants and hotels' information and spread it and share it with people. Because we're looking for content.
And give them some free press. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Free, zero. 10 minutes of your day. I understand.
Right.
5 minutes of your day. Twitter is 140 characters. 140 characters. Write down a special.
Do you think they're not doing it because they don't know how?
I think some people are, you know, like a lot of old school newspaper editors are intimidated by the internet, so they run 100 miles away from it instead of, you know, saying, okay, I have to deconstruct what I know and reconstruct, you know, to take into social media into account, because if I don't, I'm just going to get run over. Facebook, I mean, we're bloggers, right? And you are a Facebooker. I'm not a Facebooker because I know it would take away from my blogging, and I know that the time suck can be. But it is absolutely, Facebook is taking over the world, and for people not to acknowledge that, right?
And take advantage of it.
People aren't even emailing anymore. Email is like 1990. People send messages through Facebook nowadays.
I know. Hey, what do you think about this? This just came up in my brain. What do you think? Maybe you and I ought to get together and put together a little, like an hour-long seminar on how to kind of get your business online, how to kick it up a notch and get it on Facebook and get it on Twitter, and invite some of our business friends to it that might not know how to do it.
Are you part of the Chamber of Commerce?
I'm not.
You're not. Okay.
I'll bet we can fill the room, though.
I am, and I think that, like, if we could maybe run it through them. I'll have to talk to Bob Hastings, but they would probably welcome that with open arms, you know, trying to get people. I think we would fill the room.
Why don't we talk about that, and maybe do something like that in the next couple of months. Yeah, good.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, I just drive it home. Any restaurant, really, there's blogs out there that's all they do is write about restaurants, and they would love to get your information. And it's not just one or two. There's like dozens of your information.
They're always looking for info. Yep. They want content. They want information. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, for sure. It drives me bananas. It really does.
All right. Take a breath. You'll be fine. Take a deep breath. You'll be all right.
I know. Well, I think this is coming to the end of our podcast. How do you think it went?
42 minutes and 48 seconds, 49 seconds, 50 seconds. I think we did okay, man. I think we had plenty of stuff here, and I don't know if there's a time limit on these, but I think we covered a lot of stuff. I hope people give us some feedback on this and write some comments about it and send us emails and whatever kind of mail they want to send us and let us know. But I think it went fine. What do you think?
I think it went better than I expected. That's for sure. I thought we'd make a lot of mistakes, and I thought we'd be, it was a lot more natural than I thought it would be. I thought we'd be a little bit more rigid, but I think we'll get better and better as we go along.
Yeah, I know it will. I know it will.
Yeah, and people can check out our individual websites, both of them, and they can. And we'll put notes, show notes in there, and we'll also put links to everything that we talked about. And those real estate links, especially, I think, will be very helpful to people. And your dog walking map and stuff. I'm Joey Shimataro for Good Morning Gloucester, and you can subscribe there for free. Kenny, you can subscribe to your website, right?
That is correct. I'm Kenny McCarthy, and you can subscribe to thecutbridge.com anytime you like. I want to plug my camera up there too, Joey. We got a camera of the Cut Bridge, so if you ever want to take a look at what's going on over the bridge, one of the busiest bridges on the Eastern Seaboard, go to thecutbridge.com, and you can see the bridge live.
All right,
this is great, Joey.
Good Morning Gloucester, thecutbridge.com. the live webcam. If like today, on a day like today, when people from, see, I know there's a lot of people that check out our blogs from Florida, the snowbirds and stuff, and they want to see what the weather's really
yeah.
like.
Yeah, it's snowing like hell. Resource. That's what it's doing now.
There you go. All right, until next time, I'm Joey Shimotaro.
And I'm Kenny McCarthy. Take care, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.